Once more, give me the ability to supernaturally convey the truth you want shared. Lord, help me around a subject that's kind of hard for me to talk about. Lord, just have your way tonight. Maybe somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus. We know you work in mysterious ways. Take this little short time here, Lord, and bring somebody to yourself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Life is full of disappointments and difficulties, isn't it? Now, don't throw rocks. These are JKs. Did you hear about the cow that tried to jump over the fence? It was an utter disaster. Did you hear about the guy who fell into a furniture upholstery machine? He's now fully recovered. Or did you hear about the butcher who accidentally backed into his meat grinder? He got a little behind in his work. Oh, that might be the best part of the whole night. Well, you know the story. Soon after delivering the wild man of Gadara from a legion of demons and raising the price of bacon, word spreads from Decapolis all the way across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum and other cities in that area about the miraculous power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people were thronging to him. Now, we need to understand that because of sin, the entire human race is constantly battling in life against diseases of all kind, against humiliation and heartbreak, and the ultimate enemy, death. Not much has changed in the last 2,000 years. As J.K. said the other day, hurting people desperately seem to turn to anything the world has to offer, putting their faith in anything and anybody except the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, when I retired and we came up here and I took that job as a parts driver, that's the cake job of my life. It really was. Only had to work 6 hours a day, come in at 8, go home at 2. I'm on my own. I'm by myself. If I want to stop and get a hamburger, I can stop and get a hamburger. But I would go get parts for that our mechanics needed at Alamo Toyota, or I would take parts from Alamo Toyota to other people. I went as far north as Blanco. I went as far south as North Park Toyota down there. We went east and west. All over the place. And I began to notice some things that happened over that 5-year period. I began to realize, and during that time I was preaching on the weekends and in churches that didn't have a pastor or churches that just needed fill for this week or something like that. And I began to notice and became amazed at how many of these so-called psychic readers and fortune tellers, they're popping up all over the place. They're thriving all over San Antonio. You know, there was a time when you had to go to the red light district to find something like that in the big city only. But they're everywhere. I mean, you can drive down Perrin Bidle headed toward where it hits Nacogdoches, but there's one right next door to the Dairy Queen. And they're making money. It's got a new paint job and all kinds of stuff there. And all of this is happening while many of our churches are downsizing, or closing the doors. You know what that says? We're not reaching people to Jesus Christ. I think we say we care a lot more than we care. We have opportunities sometime in life to share a witness. I told them full straight up front when I went there that I was a preacher and that I was free to share my testimony. And my boss, who's an elder at the Cornerstone Hagee's Church, said absolutely. And so I had the opportunity to win some people to Christ during that time. One guy at I think Universal Toyota that I had a chance to talk with, and I've been working on the WeTech brothers over here. If y'all know WeTech's auto paint and body shop, you know where I'm talking about over in Selma. They have your car. Okay. Did they use genuine Toyota parts? Okay, it wasn't a Toyota. People are coming here. And they're not being reached for the Lord. And to make matters worse, because of our obvious lack of concern, very few of them will ever hear the truth of Jesus and His saving grace. Now, I don't know who told this woman about the Lord, but the scriptures don't tell us. That's a blank subject. And there's not very much written on this. Brother Butch, I looked up everything I could find, anything I could find from Warren Wiersbe, from Adrian Rogers, from James Merritt, from Jerry Vines, and a few more. And none of them boogers had the courage to say anything about this. None of them. You know, and now those, and these guys, you know, they're not like regular preachers like us that we have to do our own work. These guys have a cadre of interns out doing all kinds of research and everything, putting it all together, and then he stamps it as his. And there's nothing there. And I'm like, Lord, why did I have to do this? Well, I don't know who told her about the Lord. I don't know who told her that she could find some deliverance maybe from her problem. I'm sure she had been taken advantage of time after time after time. Well, before she met the Master, she was desperate. How many of you were desperate when you got saved? I'm telling you, if you were saved when you were a teen and up, you probably got saved because you were desperate. I got saved in vacation Bible school as a 10-year-old boy. My teacher told me I was a sinner. I'm thinking, Mom and Dad don't let me do nothing. But I believed her. And the truth is, I knew some things I'd like to do. My folks had big old thumbs like that, and they didn't give us the opportunity to do things. So I get saved in vacation Bible school, 10 years old, and just kind of from there. But the people that I've led to the Lord who are 35 and so and up, they have to get desperate to listen to you. Especially if they're successful in their careers and that kind of stuff. Their attitude, the world's attitude right now is, why do we need Jesus? They don't believe the fairy tale stories that we believe. That's what they say. I don't know what this woman did. I don't know that the Bible does not say that she had committed some kind of sin and therefore got put in this position. It doesn't say that she didn't. It says nothing. And so there's no way to judge this situation. But we read that she had an issue of blood. And without going a whole lot into it, I think you pretty much know what I'm talking about. She had a medical issue that was embarrassing as well as lethal. And she had it for 12 years. She'd been struggling with this. 12 years. This is 2018. Imagine if you had contracted some kind of chronic health problem in 2006 and it was still nagging you every day with no prospect for relief. Be pretty discouraged, wouldn't you? I mean, we're used to instant medicine just go. I mean, I was amazed. I had some vision problems in my right eye. We went to the ophthalmologist. Now you know why I think I ought to write everything down that I'm going to say. We went to our ophthalmologist, Dr. Holt, Jean Holt, pretty good gal, and because I told Mary Lou, I said, I think I'm getting a cataract. And so we went over there and we got our eyes checked like we normally do every year. And I told her when she came in to talk and I said, well, she said, what'd you come over here for? What was you really looking? I said, I think I'm getting a cataract or something. She said, well, let's go take a look. She went back. She put all the stuff in thing and then had me look through some other stuff. And she said, you don't have a cataract. And there's nothing wrong with your retina. There's nothing wrong with the lens. She said, I'm afraid that if you have a problem, it's with your optic nerve. And then she blurts out real quick, I'm not saying you have a tumor. Okay? And so I looked at her and said, I have a tumor. You know? I couldn't resist. So she sent us to another doctor who sent us to a Dr. Carter over at UT Health Science Center, and he ran some tests and made me try. He's saying, you know, click this when you see the light. Well, it's going bing, 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 bing. You know, I couldn't follow that. And then he did a CAT scan, and he said, you have a tumor. It's by your pituitary gland. And it's putting pressure, the tumor, the tentacles of the tumor are choking off the blood supply to your optic nerve. And you need to get this done, taken care of. I said, what are we going to do? He said, well, we got to operate. So he sent me over to Dr. Floyd at UT Health Science Center. You know, he looked like all these doctors now. They shave their head. You know, they look like they're 35, 40 years old. Actually, they look like they're about 15 when I think about how old I am. But this guy was sharp, and he said, yep, we're going to take care of it. And what was it, in November? He said, we'll start the surgery. It's supposed to start somewhere around 7. Butch and Neil got there. They prayed with me. We went in the OR, and I'm talking to them, you know, still doing one-liners because when I'm nervous, I tell jokes, and then I really get in trouble. But I remember going in that operating room, and the table, the operating table, was about this wide by this wide, just a little square table, like a card table or something. I can't fit on that. And I said that, and then the guy just, poof, and then I'm gone. I wake up in the room, what, the next morning? Late that night? And, you know, there was all kind of funny stuff going on there. My oldest daughter said that she was like saying, Daddy, Daddy, whatever. I looked at her and said, I don't even know you, you know. I don't remember any of that stuff. But I came out of that. I didn't feel bad. I didn't have any pain. You know, I'm sure I had plenty of drugs in me. And make the story short, they sent me home that afternoon. I was supposed to spend the night, and the assistant to Dr. Floyd came by to check on me. So he said, how you feel? I said, I feel good. He said, would you like to go home? Heck yeah. What, do I want to spend a night in the hospital or do I want to go home and get in my bed? And so we did. And that would have been Friday we went home, right? Anyway, we came to church Sunday. And I don't even remember who it was, somebody was like, I thought you had surgery. I said, I did. They took a tumor out of my brain. Well, I don't see any scars because I got this big old nose. He just went up in there like that, cut it out. But I had, it was like almost instantaneous. I had a problem that would lead to my blindness eventually, and who knows what after that. And they said, we got this. We took care of it. It's all done. I mean, in just a matter of a few weeks, this lady struggled for 12 years. 12 years. The scripture said she had an issue of blood, a medical issue that was embarrassing as well as lethal for 12 years. She had a desire for healing, I guarantee you, that outweighed her pride. And you can tell by her actions. She had, when we pick up the story, she was suffering financially. The Bible said she had spent all her money on doctors that couldn't help her. You know, first century doctors were more like shaman or magicians with very little understanding of the human anatomy and scientific medical practices. Let me tell you one of them. The Jewish Talmud listed several ancient cures for blood disorder, such as cracking open a large duck egg, burning the shell and its contents, and then wearing the ashes in a linen pouch around your neck. This woman probably tried the duck egg remedy. No wonder we call doctors quacks, okay? That's not mine. That's J.K.'s. He gave it to me. He was good enough to give it to me, and I don't want to steal it from him because that's his stuff. Are you here? Oh, you're there. You told me you wasn't going to be here. You lied. Get up here and preach this. She's suffering socially. She's suffering religiously. She's got a blood disorder that caused her to be religiously impure, and she's a social outcast now. She's treated the same way they treated lepers back then. According to Leviticus chapter 15, a chair or a bed or a person that she might have touched became ceremonially unclean. So she wasn't allowed to be in the crowd. And whenever she came by or was about to meet somebody, she had to cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine how embarrassing that could have been, that was for that woman? But desperate motives take us to desperate actions. This lady was determined to find this Jesus who claimed to be the Messiah and put his power and her faith to the test. She had nothing to lose and everything to gain. She's exhausted her finances. She's seeking every other cure advice. I think her hopes were raised and her faith was secured when she saw Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, as he prostrated himself to Jesus and begged for the healing, and Jesus agreed to do so. Maybe there was a little light began to shine. Dr. Vance Havner wrote these words. He said, mind you, this woman was shy and timid. She was not in the habit of elbowing her way through the crowds, but when we are desperate enough, we'll do anything to get through to God. Our Lord said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Thirst is not casually wanting a drink of water. When we really thirst, water must be had, and we'll drive through any obstacle we have to get it. And the problem today is that Christians aren't drinking the living water because there's no burning, feverish, consuming thirst for God. The situation is desperate, except that we're not. You know? How many of you know somebody that's lost? I mean, you just know. How many of you have witnessed to that person? How many of you have prayed fervently for that person? How many of you have just cried out to God to give you the courage to sit down with them and walk through the plan of salvation with them? How many of you are timid when it comes to taking those daring steps of saying, let me sit down with you and show you how to solve all your problems? Not very many of us. But if people are desperate, they'll look for a remedy and they'll take it when they find it. Now Jesus said, the Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, according to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. So that means just like he was ready to receive that woman, he's ready to receive anybody else this day. We're all the same way when it comes to sharing our faith in Christ. Sometimes if people get upset with us because we bring up the name of Jesus, they're no more worse off than before. There ain't no such thing as hell number two, folks. They're just hell. But the Holy Spirit can still work on them. God never lets his word come back void. It's biblical truth that the Holy Spirit uses to convict hearts and save souls. Now, despite the fact that she was considered unclean, this woman devised a plan to meet this healer any way she could. She's desperate. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. I'm going to find this guy named Jesus. I'm going to challenge him to take my problem. And that's what basically she did. Scripture said she located the Lord by the crowd that was forming, and she slowly worked her way through the crowd to get close, maybe within speaking distance of him, even though she would have been forbidden to do so because of her issue. I think she felt the best that she could ever do was just sort of leap over there and grab onto anything she could get. She had it in her heart and mind, if I can just touch the edge of his robe, I'll be healed. And so with some bold determination, she reached out and grabbed the hem of Jesus' garment. By the way, the word translated touch is the word haptomai. It doesn't mean to lightly touch. According to Scripture, this word means she grabbed her a handful of. She gripped it like a drowning person holding on to a life jacket. And she knew immediately that she had been healed. For the first time in her life, she knew things were different. And sensing that power had gone out from him, Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" And his disciples were incredulous. Everybody's touching him. Everybody. And Jesus knew the difference, though, because he felt power, or virtue, as the word the old King James uses, gush from him. Her trust in the doctors had cost her everything but didn't fix her problem, but her encounter with Christ cost her nothing and solved all her suffering. Listen, it wasn't her plan that counted. It was his mercy that mattered. This lady humbled herself in the midst of the crowds, and in response, Jesus honored her with healing. I believe it was both physical and spiritual. she felt immediately the power of God flowing through her. Immediately her issue was stanched, is the word that Luke uses in the Old King James. It means stopped. She's no longer unclean. She is now forgiven. She had new hopes and dreams for her life on earth and eternity in heaven. She confessed her faith publicly right then and there. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" even as she feared what he or the crowd might do. And she acknowledged it. And you know what Jesus did? He called her daughter. You know, I've talked to people about the Lord, and it seems like they're just scared to death of him because they've done all this sin. And they look at us like, we hadn't done that. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've thought more than I've done because I'm a chicken, okay? I had mama, I could have had my mother put in jail for hundreds of years because she just beat us with whatever she had. It didn't matter. She beat me with a 2x4 one time. Now, I make her look bad, but let me tell you the background of that. My little brothers always have a habit of stealing your stuff. Made me mad. He's 3.5 years younger than me, and he stole my cowboy boots and my bicycle. And he's out riding up and down the road in that, and I went after him. And I knocked him off that bicycle when he came by. And he had the audacity to take one of them boots off and hit me with it. And he ran for the house. Now, I'm telling you the truth here. I didn't want to beat him up. I wanted him dead. I've been tired of living with him for 12 years now, He needs to go. He gets to the house before I do. And he locks the doors. And he's in our bedroom saying, yeah. So I took a 2x4 and busted the window out and went in after him. Then I don't know where he tried to hide a little bit, and then he got out in the backyard, and I got a hold to him in the backyard, and I was trying to squeeze the life out of him when my mom came home and pounded and knocked me off of him with that 2x4. I don't even know what that has to do with this. We've all had evil intentions, okay? We've all had those evil intentions. Well, the scriptures say that she confessed herself openly right then and there. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And she was kind of afraid of what the crowd might do because somebody was going to recognize who she was and know that she wasn't supposed to be there. But she made herself known, and then the Lord calls her daughter. Folks, it was her faith in Christ that saved her soul and made her part of God's family on the earth. This was not just a healing encounter, it was a salvation experience. And tonight, there's a crowd of people right here worshiping. We know that Jesus is here because he promised to be present whenever two or three of us are gathered in his name. And tonight, maybe somebody will casually touch Jesus with their prayers or songs of praise. And some will approach Jesus half-heartedly because we're here as part of a weekly worship routine. And as a result, many of us might leave here tonight unaffected by our exposure to the presence of the Lord. But there's a few people, maybe there's just one, who is desperate enough to grab hold of the power of Jesus like they're gripping a life jacket in a stormy sea. Are you here? Are you desperate? Do you really want to know forgiveness of your sins and the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ and a life that's worth living? Are you here? Many people, I think, suffer in silence. When that woman knelt at Jesus' feet and told her story, she testified what Jesus had done and how he changed her life. Well, when we publicly confess our faith in the Lord Jesus, to follow him in water baptism, that's how we make known that who we are and what's happened to us. One of the first ways we openly confess our faith to Jesus is to follow him in baptism. Then we grow in grace and with the grace of God, and we gather together in worship and prayers and Bible study and fellowship. And then some of us, and I don't understand why not all of us, develop a habit or develop the courage to go talk to the people we used to run with and tell them how we escaped what they're involved in. I don't know what else is going on with you tonight. I don't know for sure all the reasons this thing was put, this story was even put in the Bible, except to put me on a squeeze tonight. You know? So maybe that's what the Lord had in mind. It's an unusual thing. But it's not unusual for Jesus to save people from their sin. Amen? And it's not unusual for people who go to church to realize, you know what, I joined a church, but I didn't get saved. Mary Lou will give you her story about that sometime. But if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, Brother Butch is going to come in just a second and extend that invitation. And when he does, it's your opportunity to reap God's reward for loving and trusting him. And he'll give you not just a good life, he'll give you eternal life. Amen. Something nobody can take away. And by the way, you can't get rid of it once you get it. I'm pretty Baptist about that. I don't think God ever takes our salvation away from us. He does knock us in the head time to. He'll yank us out of here and take us to heaven and say, you can't play down there no more. If you don't know Jesus, when the invitation is given, you come talk to our preacher. Maybe you're here tonight looking for a church home. I'm the crazy guy. I don't always get to preach, okay? You'll get other stuff. Maybe you know somebody who has some kind of special need like this woman has. Maybe because of fear or shame, they don't try to do anything about it. Maybe you can love somebody into coming to Jesus Christ. Father, Lord, I don't understand all the mysteries in this story, but I do understand that you made it very clear that you love sinners, just like me, just like that lady, just like everybody else in the world. You love us so much that you proved your love by sending your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to shed his blood as a sacrifice for that sin. He died for us. He was buried, and he rose again. And, Lord, he's coming back just like you promised. Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know him, I pray they'd come tonight. If there's somebody looking for a church home, I hope they'd come tonight. If there's somebody that just has some kind of special needs, Lord, don't let them walk out without stopping somebody and saying, can I talk to you about this or can I talk to you about that? Lord, bless the time of invitation, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.